This is the Angry GM, and this is a flash chat, an impromptu live chat I am throwing together with the folks on Discord, which I do every once in a while, and I'd like to do more because they're a lot of fun. But today's not about fun. Today is because I dropped an update on theangrygm.com about the whole open gaming license crap show and everything it was going to mean for the future of me. And then I started talking about plans for how I could pivot based on what the future of me was going to be. And I confused and upset everybody. And meanwhile, there's a crap ton of misinformation. And while I could try to type it all out, I figured the best way to do this would be just throw on a microphone and let me just spill, and then with the time I have left after I spill, I'll handle whatever questions and comments have already been dropped. I'm actually gonna lower the Discord so I can't see it, because I get distracted when things scroll. Okay. One thing, and this is a stupid thing, but I'm trading very heavily on my trust for the community right now, and trust is a really stupid thing to have in business, but also it's really, really, really valuable. Like, business doesn't work without it. So, which Wizards of the Coast is learning. But anyway, this specific live chat is for my supporters only. Do not repost this. Do not share it. Do not link to it. Do not give it to a friend. Do not help out someone else by sharing it. It's very important because there are things in here I actually don't feel super comfortable making public statements of. I will live with them. If they become public statements, they become public statements. It'll be my bed and I'll lie in it. But I'm choosing the route of transparency over the route of business politics here, just by giving this conversation. So please, if you're listening to this, you know, just keep it to yourselves. This is just, and really this is just so that, this is just a conversation about how this shit affects me. Okay. Ground rules before I launch into things, because I did organize some thoughts and how to go through everything that's going on, because I promise I will catch you up on the whole story of why all this seems to be happening right now. First of all, I am not an attorney, which is very important because a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about is legal in nature, and I am not qualified to talk about it and absolutely not qualified to give you advice on it. While I am formerly an accountant, I am trained as an accountant. I am not currently a practicing accountant. I am not qualified to give you business advice, okay? On top of all of that, the document that we will be talking about, the Open Gaming License version 1.1, has not even been released yet. It has only been supposedly leaked. And while there's good reason to believe that it is probably an accurate document that Wizards of the Coast really did write, we don't know whether it's actually going to be released in that form. It could turn out to have been a big whole hoax. I don't think it will be at this point. But it could turn out to be a whole big lie or a hoax or whatever. Or Wizards of the Coast could say, whoops, we didn't mean it. We just, you know, that was an internal document. We were just running up a couple of different drafts that never should have gotten out to the public. We're sorry, JK. The real one's coming in 2 weeks. Okay, there is right now no way to speak categorically about anything. There are no facts, and I am not qualified to give any information. So with that said, I'm going to spend the next hour organizing the facts and giving as much information as I can. Okay. Next, ground rule number two. We will not be vilifying our evil corporate overlords at Wizards of the Coast. I am not happy that this is happening. This is a terrible thing for me and pretty much every other content creator out there. But I am not going down the route of vilifying Wizards of the Coast. So I'm not even going to talk about why. Okay, I have some information and some conjecture and some guesses about their motives and things, and I'm actually a bit sympathetic toward them. And also, I recognize, unlike many creators, that what I have been on for the last 8 years is a bit of a gravy train that I didn't have to buy a ticket for. And now it looks like the gravy train is pulling up to the last station and everybody's got to decide whether to get off and start prospecting for gold or hijack the train and shoot the conductor. So I'm just not even going to go that route. We're not going to talk about Wizards of the Coast and whether this is a good move or a bad move or speculate about their motives or anything else. Off the table. This is the OGL facts that we don't have and are not qualified to discuss, and my future based on those facts I'm not qualified to discuss that we don't have, and my guesses. Okay. By the same token, ground rule number three, I am not vilifying copyright law. Okay, that's another big thing. We got to go after the corporations. We got to go after copyrights. Copyrights are evil. Look, I like copyrights. Copyrights are the things that allow me to protect my content so that Wizards of the Coast can't publish a product with my rules in it without paying me for that. So I want copyright law. So I'm not going to blast, oh my God, this is the problem with copyright law. Okay, everybody says copyright law is broken. It's got to be fixed. Nobody can propose a better solution that serves all parties because creators have a right to protect their content. Otherwise, they don't create. I would not be doing this if I couldn't make money at it. Not because I don't want to, but because I couldn't afford to. I pour, you know, this is the equivalent of a 40, sometimes 50 hour work week for me. That's money I don't spend earning money to buy groceries. So, you know, I gotta live. Everybody's gotta live. And the sad reality is if someone came along, stole all my work, and destroyed my ability to make money off of it, I'd be gone because I just couldn't afford to do it. So we're not gonna go vilifying copyright law and whatever. And finally, number five, or ground rule number four, I'm gonna reiterate this. We are talking about pure speculation and hearsay based on expert opinions we're not allowed to have and that we don't know enough about to have. Okay, now, all of that established, let's quickly say, let's quickly talk about the OGL situation and what the hell's going on. And to do that, we're gonna jump in the Wayback Machine and travel back in time to the mysterious year 2000-ish, maybe 2003. I don't remember the exact date. Okay, before the OGL, Open Gaming License, came along, if you wanted to make content for Wizards of, or for Dungeons and Dragons, if you wanted to write an adventure and sell it, or even share it around, or, you know, create your own monsters or create your own classes, create your own anything for Dungeons and Dragons, you had a problem. And that problem is you don't own Dungeons and Dragons, but there's a bigger problem, and that is nobody knows what Dungeons and Dragons is. Okay, nobody, literally nobody knows. So if I wanted to write an adventure and I wanted to include something like a certain monster, does that monster belong to Dungeons and Dragons? That is, whoever created Dungeons and Dragons, do they have a right to say, no, you can't use that monster because it's mine. I created it. You need my permission. And again, not vilifying copyright law. If you create a thing, you get to decide who can use it. End of story. Okay, you can have your opinions on that. Okay, so it was a big, big issue. And you go back into the 90s, the late 80s and throughout, the early 90s through the 90s, whatever. And with the TSR, the company that owned Dungeons & Dragons, was making a big stink about this and basically ruining everybody's custom content because they were just suing everybody left and right and shutting down, Usenet boards and Facebook pages, because this was before, like, there was just the World Wide Web. Well, I mean, there was the World Wide, there was the internet, right? But the internet was mostly BBSs and Usenet boards and shit like that, or whatever the hell it was. I don't remember. I don't think I was even on the internet until 96, something like that. Okay, anywho, so along comes Wizards of the Coast and a couple of people at Wizards of the Coast, specifically a guy named Ryan Dancy, who was the VP of Dungeons & Dragons, and another guy, Peter Adkinson, who was the president of Wizards of the Coast, who loved Dungeons & Dragons and wanted to save it from destruction, so he bought it from TSR. The plan was this. Everybody's now afraid to make content for D&D, but D&D is better if people can make content, but also, if anybody can just freely make content for D&D, Wizards of the Coast can't protect D&D from people just running off photocopies of the rule books and selling those or flooding the market with shit bootleg copies and then putting them out of business, which means there's no new D&D products from Wizards of the Coast. So it's not a good situation. So they came up with this idea, the open gaming license. What they would do is they would take the game and they would tell you, this is the stuff we consider to be Dungeons and Dragons. This is the stuff we continue. And then they would take that pile, the stuff that is considered Dungeons and Dragons, and then they would divide it into two things. The stuff anybody could use if they included this legal contract, if they agreed to the open gaming license, and the stuff nobody could use but Wizards of the Coast, which is where you get things like Mordenkainen and Beholders and shit like that, that nobody doubts was created as a part of Dungeons & Dragons. Okay, that's Dungeons & Dragons stuff. Mordenkainen is a Dungeons & Dragons character. You can't have him. He belongs to Dungeons & Dragons. This cleared up a lot of confusion because if I'm writing a game, and let's say I want to write a Dungeons & Dragons adventure, but now I want to mention the spell Burning Hands. Okay, I mean, it's pretty clear, like something like Fireball or Strength, those are not Dungeons & Dragons. Everybody can use the word Strength. Everybody can use the term Fireball. Okay, dozens and dozens and dozens, probably hundreds of video games and board games and game, you know, all sorts of products have been using these words forever. Dungeons & Dragons can't claim that. But what about a spell like Burning Hands? Is that Dungeons & Dragons? You know, do I have to change that name? And if I don't change that name, will Wizards of the Coast sue me? You know, what about something like a feat? If I include the term feat and I specifically use a feat as a mechanical chunk of rules that gives a character a limited ability or talent to do something that is smaller than a skill, am I now infringing on what would be considered Dungeons and Dragons? Feats. Okay, now this gets mixed up because a lot of people say you can't copyright game mechanics. That is technically true and also a very messy thing to say because it is true. You cannot copyright a process like roll a die, add a number, and then compare it to another number. But you can copyright and trademark and do all this stuff and claim that something, a term like difficulty class belongs to you, or Burning Hands, because it's a Dungeons and Dragons thing. So the open gaming license basically came along and said, here's all the stuff that we, Wizards of the Coast, consider to be D&D, but, and actually that was the system reference document. The system reference document was the thing that said, this is all the stuff we consider to be D&D. But if you enter into a legal contract with us by putting this legal statement in the back of your book, we will let you use it however you want, provided you don't try to claim you own it. So you can have a goblin in your adventure and you can use goblin stats as long as you don't try to pretend you made the goblin. Okay, you have to put the disclaimer in the back. Say, look, this is Wizards of the Coast, it's Goblin. I'm using it. They gave me permission. The open gaming license is actually a legal contract you accept by including the text in a product. Okay, if you don't include the text in a product, well, you can write whatever the hell you want in that product. But if Wizards of the Coast lawyers go sniffing at that product and they see something they think is Dungeons and Dragons, they're going to have words with you. If you have the open gaming license and you obey the rules and only put in the things they say you can put in, then the lawyers are like warded off. It's like holding up a cross, and then the lawyers recoil and go back to their coffins to wait for the next night to look for something else to sue. Okay? That's the whole concept of the open gaming license. Okay? Without an open gaming license, you can still write whatever the hell you want. But if you cross a certain line, there is the chance that Wizards of the Coast or whoever made the game that you're writing for will come along and say, that's actually ours. You either have to stop selling it or you have to, you know, get sued. Okay, something like they can take action against you. The specifics of the action don't matter, okay? Because you're using their stuff. And the problem is, it comes down to a court to decide what stuff is Dungeons and Dragons. Wizards of the Coast believes Dungeons and Dragons is literally every word written in every book in any form. They probably would like to believe they own the words feet and strength and all of that. They don't, and they know it. They would never sue over you saying strength or even make a strength check. But they do also believe they own something like Burning Hands. So if you wrote the spell name Burning Hands, they could decide that you were in violation. And then they could sue you. And then it would be down to them making their best argument to a judge and you making your best argument to a judge and the judge deciding, yeah, okay, that sounds like that one belongs to Wizards of the Coast. You're in violation. Or, no, Wizards of the Coast, you can't actually claim ownership over hit points. Okay, every one of these things has to be decided in court. That's why the open gaming license was so valuable. It cut through the crap. It said, this is the stuff, this is fine. You use this stuff, you do it under our rules, we're not going to come after you. If you do what you want and don't use those rules, well, then you're in the Wild West. We might come after you. It depends on whether we think we've got a case and whether you all sorts of stuff. Okay, and then it's courtroom time. Okay. Ultimately, it must not be forgotten that open gaming license was never ever Wizards of the Coast saying, everybody can make anything for our product. What they were saying is, you can make stuff for our product as part of a legal agreement with us simply by including this document and following our rules. It was a contract. It remains a contract, okay? It's an agreement between a content creator and the company Wizards of the Coast. You can go without it. And as an example, I have never once published OGL content as the Angry Game Master. Okay? Were there risks involved? Could I have been sued? Yes. Yes, absolutely. I don't want to go into that. You know, I don't believe I violated Wizards of the Coast actual intellectual property at any point. Wizards of the Coast may have a different opinion, and if they decided we had to argue it out, we'd have to argue it out in front of a judge. And that is costly and time-consuming. Costly enough that it would not be worth it for me to fight the fight over my little, you know, like, say, Game Angry. Like, the sales just wouldn't be enough for me to bother fighting that fight. Because attorneys need money, too. It's what they need to live. Okay. So what's going on now is that Wizards of the Coast has released a new version of the Open Gaming License. And it is very, very different. Okay? It is still the same on its face. That is, if you want to make content for Dungeons & Dragons, you include this legal statement, you follow the rules that we have outlined, and then you can make the content and we won't hurt you. If you make content without it, you may be a target. Okay. The new OGL has problems that make it onerous for many content creators. And some of them are quite subtle. Okay. And I should point out, by the way, that it doesn't matter whether you're making money off something or not. That can be a determining factor in some copyright cases. But at the end of the day, if you copy something you don't have a right to, you have violated copyright. That's why it's called that. Doesn't matter whether you did it for profit or not. Okay? But in the general case. More specifically, you can use, I didn't profit off this. It wasn't a commercial product. For certain cases of fair use, yada, yada, not an attorney. Doesn't matter. Okay. Wizards of the Coast has now turned around and said, okay, you want to do this, that's fine. You can make content for Dungeons & Dragons, but now you have to include the new and shiny Open Gaming License. Okay, you still have to obey all the old rules. You can only include the stuff we say you can. You can't include certain things that we say are off limits. But also, hey, if you want to create content for Dungeons & Dragons, you need to register with us. Okay, it's particularly if you're above a certain size. And I'm not going to give all the specific details. I'm just going to run through this very vaguely and conceptually, especially because the document doesn't exist yet and we don't know what it actually says. This is all based on a leaked copy of the document, or actually at this point, it is several leaked copies of the document that came from several different independent sources that all seem to be accurate, and Wizards of the Coast and everybody who works there not saying a single damn thing about it for days, while Twitter and the online gaming community has been burning itself down about this. So, make of that what you will. But this is the other thing, is like you have to now register yourself and you have to say, okay, you make content for Dungeons & Dragons. That's fine. What content do you make? How much do you make off that content? Because then what they're going to do is they're going to say, if you make over a certain amount, and, you know, again, the numbers don't really matter, but they will say, if you make over a certain amount, well, we're considering you a commercial creator. And if you make over a certain different amount, we're going to start taking royalties. You have to pay us. You're profiting off our content. You need to pay us, which is not unusual. Generally speaking, when you make licensed content for something, you have to pay the owner of it royalties. It's called consideration. It's part of a thing. Okay. But anyway, the way Wizards of the Coast has structured its royalties are such that very successful products will pretty much get chewed down above a certain level, but by a huge percentage. So they're talking something like 25% of the gross revenue of a product that is over $750,000, but I think it's on the amount only on the amount over $750,000, $750,000, $750,000. So, I mean, that's, you know, the royalty thing probably is not going to affect a lot of people. Okay. But royalties or no, you're still logging, you know, you're still entering yourself into Wizards corporate database just to produce stuff. Not only that, they want you to tell them what you are working on in the future. Like you need to, like they want you to say, okay, next month I'm going to publish this, next year I'm going to publish this, yada, yada, yada. When you know, they want to know, especially if you're a commercial publisher. And if you make over a certain amount, you're a commercial publisher. On top of that, while you retain the copyright to anything you create under the Open Gaming License that isn't already theirs, like you can't claim the copyright on goblins, but if you write Svirfnim, the friendly goblin bard, that Svirfnim is yours, okay? But goblins and bards are Wizards of the Coast. However, Wizards of the Coast is granted a free and clear license to use anything you create any way they want without paying you. So they could have Svirfnim, your goblin bard, pop up in one of their products. Or they could sell Svirfnim t-shirts. Okay? I shit you not. This is true. Okay. On top of that, they can revoke the license at any time. So if you tell them you're planning to release a product and then they say, well, you know, that's too similar to a product we're going to release. We're taking away the OGL from that particular product. You can't make it. We want to. And then there's nothing you can do. Okay. This combines nicely with a content oversight clause, which basically says if Wizards of the Coast decides that your product is somehow offensive or damaging to their brand, they can rescind the OGL and destroy the product. Okay. It is for these reasons that I absolutely do not intend to work with the Open Gaming License in any capacity. Number one, I am not giving anybody the right to use my content in any other capacity. Okay. Especially because there is a question about where my content can be separated. So hypothetically, if I release a rules document, say I release AngryCraft as Open Gaming License content on my website, can they claim that, well, because my website is Open Gaming License and I'm an Open Gaming License publisher, we used your tension pool in our next product? Now, that would probably be a load of bullshit, but now it's on me to prove it in court. I'd have to fight them. So it's very, very dangerous. Okay. On top of that, And this is the reason why it's now more dangerous than ever to go without the open gaming license. Whereas in the past, I was, you know, brave about doing that. It is known that, or at least it is reasonably verifiable, that Wizards of the Coast has been in negotiation with the owners of crowdfunding sites, including Kickstarter, negotiating ways that Kickstarter can collect royalties directly for Wizards of the Coast. In theory, this makes it easy for an open gaming license publisher to just send Wizards of the Coast their cut without having to do any paperwork. That's very, 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 very nice. What is scary, though, is that that means that Wizards of the Coast has a relationship and a red phone to Kickstarter. So if Wizards of the Coast is scrolling through Kickstarter projects and they look at something that isn't under the OGL, but that smells like something they could sue over, instead of going through legal means, like sending somebody a cease and desist letter and saying, you have to cancel your project because this is a violation of our copyright, instead they just call Kickstarter and say, hey, Kickstarter, you got this project here. We're taking a look at it, right? It sure looks like it's infringing on our content. It's not on open gaming license. Now, we're not telling you to do anything about it, but what we are saying is that we're thinking of pursuing legal action against this creator. And you sure as heck wouldn't want to be seen hosting infringing content, would you? So, you know, you might get spattered with mud. Wouldn't that be terrible? Click. And then the project gets shut off for vague, unknown violations of Kickstarter terms of service. And you, the creator, don't even know why or what happened. Okay? I rely heavily on crowdfunding. In fact, I rely completely on crowdfunding. If my crowdfunding goes away, the Angry GM website is gone in 2 months. Okay, you shut off my crowdfunding. 2 months from now, my site is gone. It's offline and I am, you know, I'm back in the cubicle farm. That's just a statement of fact. I can't afford to do it. So I cannot be seen as violating Wizards of the Coast's intellectual property, nor can I operate under the open gaming license, which means my only option now is to distance myself completely from anything that is D&D content, anything that's even close, anything other than stuff I absolutely know, like hit points and strength and armor class. Those are not wizards. Those are not Dungeons and Dragons. Okay, that would not even survive an initial file. You know, if Wizards of the Coast said, you know, you used armor class, we're going to sue you, because I can point to 10 war games where armor class existed before D&D did, because armor class is actually stolen from naval war games, which is why it used to go up instead of down. But that's a whole other story. Okay, this is now this calculus, by the way, that I am going through, is the same calculus that every other content creator you love and follow is working through. Can I afford to operate under Wizards of the Coast's rules? Can I afford to shirk those rules? And can I afford to shirk those rules in a situation where Wizards of the Coast is now bestest buddies with the people running the crowdfunding platforms? Okay? The answer for smart creators is probably gonna be no. And I realize that it's pretty much at this point that you would probably think that I should really be mad at Wizards of the Coast and treat them like the evil corporate overlords. But again, I do understand some things about this, and I do have a great deal of sympathy for them, because Wizards of the Coast is actually in a really shitty position right now, and so is Dungeons & Dragons. It's a position I wouldn't want to be in. The fact of the matter is, I have been benefiting for many years off their shitty position. But their shitty position is now catching up to them, which it should have done 2 years ago, but COVID. Anywho, all of that aside, so that is the story. That's the whole open gaming license thing. That is why content creators are now all trying to figure out what the hell to do with themselves. And not just content creators, okay? Because there are also a bunch of really big games that back in the day were released as open gaming license content. not necessarily because they had to be, but because it was safer that way. Okay, so that if I wanted to come along and make a fantasy adventure role-playing game that had almost nothing, or wasn't even fantasy adventure, but say, let's say I wanted to make a like a one of those post-apocalyptic, you know, technology is magic type world, and I used literally nothing D&D, but I used a bunch of game terms like strength, dexterity, feat, you know, whatever, and I just didn't want Wizards of the Coast to bother me, I would throw the open gaming license back there anyway. Just to say, hey, I know some of this stuff you might think is yours, so I'm just going to use your license and everything's cool, right? So, but no longer. And the open gaming license does claim to revoke all previous versions of the open gaming license. There is a question as to whether or not they can do that. There are arguments on both sides, but I will tell you this. Anything any Twitter person is saying flippantly as a gotcha to Wizards of the Coast is false. For example, well, the open gaming license is perpetual, so it can't be taken away. There is a difference between an agreement that is perpetual and one that is irrevocable. And yes, it was perpetual, but it's not irrevocable. Very few agreements are irrevocable. Anywho, and I know Ryan Dancy has come out and said, well, we never intended for Wizards of the Coast to be able to take it away. And that could be used in court. The problem is, again, all of this can only be worked out in front of a judge. The judge has to decide what actually is within the law. So, anyway, anybody giving you any information about this from a legal standpoint, even those who claim to be attorneys, should be treated with a massive dose of salts. Or taken with a grain of salt. Don't like rub smelling salt under their noses or whatever. You can hurt someone that way if they're not like actually unconscious. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So that brings me around to me trying to figure out what the hell my future is. Okay. First things first. Roughly 70% of my content or the content that I was planning to release, totally unaffected. Okay, all that shit I said about the Gaming Mastering 201 series, mastering the game, becoming the bestest game master ever, pretty much already system agnostic. Doesn't go anywhere near anything Dungeons & Dragons, and as I write the articles, I can just be very, very careful not to go even closer to Dungeons & Dragons. Easy peasy, changes nothing. Here is where I get into trouble, though. Number one, rules hacks. I had some pretty good projects planned for this year. Projects I should have finished last year, but, you know, best laid plans. But anyway, I had some pretty cool projects planned for this year. I can't do them now, okay? Because simply put, something that I did in the past, like, say, ripping apart the entire monster advancement system in Dungeons & Dragons and rewriting my own better monster advancement system, I can never do that again for Dungeons & Dragons. I can't. Because, again, I don't know what they would consider their property and what they would consider not. But something like a progression table, yeah, that's their property. The monster progression table, that's published Wizards of the Coast content. If I'm going to sit there, analyze it, rip it apart, and write a better version, and then publish that shit, I could possibly write a better version. And then there'd be an argument about whether or not, you know, I was making it look too much like Wizards of the Coast stuff. But I can't do the picking apart part. And I certainly can't talk about the picking apart part. Maybe I can. And that's the big problem, is I just don't know. I would have to keep an attorney on retainer. And I don't want to do that. I only want to, like, I do occasionally have to employ an attorney for one reason or another. But I don't keep someone on retainer. And I certainly don't, you know, end up paying legal fees every month or anything like that. I couldn't afford to right now. I certainly can't afford to fight Wizards of the Coast. So any rules hacking content can't go anywhere near any of Wizards of the Coast game mechanics. But angry, they can't copyright game mechanics. No, but they can copyright specific implementations of things, like class level progressions. Those are their property. They decide how many experience points go into a level. I can't rip it apart. I can't refer to their treasure tables. Those treasure tables are copyrighted material. So something like AngryCraft, which was supposed to rely very heavily on matching the monetary progression in D&D, it's dangerous for me now. Okay? Because again, maybe I could get away with it. Maybe I don't. But can I risk it, especially knowing the big red phone between Wizards of the Coast and Patreon exists? This also is why all of my content from the past is disappearing off Patreon. Like, in the past, back when I started this whole Patreon thing, I was publishing my articles to both Patreon and my website, which means there is a copy of many of my articles on Patreon, which means Patreon is now hosting content that might be considered by Wizards of the Coast, even though I disagree, to be infringing their copyright. I got to get that shit off of there, okay? Because I can't have them turn it up and then call Patreon and say, hey, we're planning legal action against this guy. You might not want to be associated with him, and just have him shut me down. I have taken steps to insulate myself there. I have actually been in contact with Patreon itself, so they at least know my stance and my plans, because I'm smart and I'm assuming this is how it's going to go down. But I'm also going to tell you this. If by some miracle of God, if God does not harden Pharaoh's heart so that when we all say, let our game go, Wizards of the Coast says, all right, that whole open gaming license thing, yeah, we screwed up. We're going to dial it back. I still can't ever work with Wizards of the Coast again. Okay? Because the thing is, now they have demonstrated they're willing to make this move, and that they're willing to make this move very quickly. Because we went from 3 weeks ago, right before the holidays, hearing that there was going to be a new open gaming license, to 2 weeks ago hearing it was only going to affect the 20 biggest people, to a week ago, you're all fucked. Fuck all y'all. Okay? And every time they release something, it's on a Friday, near the end of the day. Okay? That's a business trick for, we're releasing something that's going to screw you over and we don't want to hear about it. So, yeah, the supposedly the open gaming license drops on Friday this week. Friday the 13th, as it happens. Is it Friday the 13th? Yeah, Friday the 13th. So, yep, right before close of business, they're going to post that, and then you're all screwed. Have a good weekend, folks. See you Monday morning. Okay, I can't operate if this is how Wizards of the Coast operates. It's just too dangerous. So even if they dialed it all back now, whatever plans I come up with, they're set in stone. Okay? There's no, Wizards of the Coast backpedaled so we can all be friends again. It's like, no, I can't be. As far as I'm concerned, Wizards of the Coast is now a rabid pit bull. Okay? I'm not mad at them. I'm mad about the situation, but I'm not vilifying them. I don't think they're evil or anything else. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I understand probably better than a lot of people why they're in the position they're in. But by the same token, I'm really mad they're doing this, and I'm now terrified of them. Okay? I can sit here and say that the rabid pit bull is only mauling me because he is a wild animal with a brain-altering disease. That doesn't make him any less dangerous. So I can sympathize with him, but I'm also not going to pet him. All right, so that's the position I'm in. As for rules hacking, I don't know what I'm going to do right now. But most of my rules hacks are going to have to focus on more system agnostic GMing tools, things like the tension pool, which is good because, you know, that stuff will serve me very, very well. I just can't release it in an environment where Wizards of the Coast might think that they could take a claim on it. So, you know, I just have to draw the, you know, make the distance up. The other big issue that has been created is bonus content. Last year, I dropped the ball hard on bonus content. I promised high-tier supporters I would be giving them at least 6 volumes of bonus content and did not deliver. There were a series, there were reasons, but they're not really good reasons because in the end, I made promises I didn't keep. So one of the things I committed myself to this year was making good on the bonus content promise. The problem is those beautiful theme packs I came up with. Yeah, that shit's all Wizards of the Coast stuff. Okay? And if I release anything that as an exclusive reward under the open gaming license, the way it's written, they can claim my entire crowdfunding income as open gaming license income, use that to determine what level of creator I am, what I have to report to them, and, you know, how much money I might owe them in royalties. And also then that could give them a claw to say, hey, anything you publish on your website, you went OGL, you're an OGL creator, you're registered, that's all ours now. So the whole bonus content thing, I now have to figure out a whole new plan. And that's kind of a pain in the ass. Because one of the things about the bonus content is that it's not just a bunch of fluffy little stories and things. It's cool stuff like monster stats and poison rules and all sorts of fun stuff that I actually really like making. And I can't make it anymore for D&D. So options are going to have to be worked out. The other big question is Kickstarters, which right now, my two big projects this year are Game Angry Volume 2 and whatchamacallit, Tension Dice. Tension Dice, no problem. Dungeons & Dragons has no claim on that. Game Angry is a hobbyist book. It's technically system agnostic, but it uses the word Dungeons & Dragons, and Wizards of the Coast thinks you can't say Dungeons & Dragons at all, ever, which they're wrong about. Which is why I was willing to do it, whole free use, fair use thing, because I was basically writing an educational book about the gaming hobby, and any mentions of Wizards of the Coast products was purely incidental. Nonetheless, if it looks too much like a duck that they decide that they're going to shoot it, I'm in danger. So I'm going to have to rework that idea. But that's okay, because Game Angry Volume 2 was going to be about adventure building, and I can tell people how to build adventures without referring to Dungeons & Dragons content. So, that's no big deal. But that's the boat I'm in right now, and that's what I'm trying to figure out, is that 30% of stuff, particularly the rules hacking material and the design blogging, and the bonus content, which is very important for me to deliver, how can I deliver on it? Yes, I know. Biscuit is here. Biscuit would like you all to know there is a bug up in the corner of the ceiling that she can't reach, and she would like me to pick it up and get it for her, or pick her up so that she can get it. But we don't have time to do that right now, sweetie, because we are broadcasting. So say hi to everybody. Biscuit says hi. Anyway, okay. So I think I've said, nope, last top. Man, I've been going for 40 minutes. Phew, that's exhausting. All right, let me jump into the questions and comments. Okay. Yeah, let me jump into the questions and comments here a bit and see what I can address. And then I know I said I'll go for an hour. I will probably go for a little bit longer. Holy shit, the turnout. I didn't even notice how many people were listening to this crap. All right, so if you got questions or comments, throw them out there now. I realize I didn't talk about Light and Crispy, but I'm sure somebody is going to ask me about it. So Dork Knight is asking, can you expand on Light and Crispy? Okay. Let me talk about Light and Crispy, aka Slapdash, or whatever the hell it's going to be. Okay. Over the weekend, as I was thinking through this whole problem, because I have done nothing but think through this whole problem since last week. I have done that instead of sleeping, honestly. So I'm a little strung out right now, as you can imagine. But over the weekend, I had some inspirations for a little role-playing game system that I could probably throw together very quickly if I didn't try to make it beautiful. Okay, and what I mean by beautiful is if I didn't try to actually, you know, put it in a box and, you know, beautiful hardcover books with gorgeous art direction and all that shit, you know, if it was just basically a nicely edited, formatted document that you could download, I'd probably throw that out pretty quickly with almost no cost to me, other than the cost it would take in time to actually, you know, build a role-playing game. And I actually had some ideas on this front, which built on some earlier ideas. For a system that I once sort of came up with, which was a system I called Slapdash. It occurred to me that since I have this giant gaping hole where I have to be able to give away something to high-tier supporters, for free as bonus content to make good on that promise. Well, if I had a completely original role-playing game system, lightweight, of course, but crunchy still. And this is where the whole thin and crispy came in. Because this is what I was thinking is, I like crunchy systems. I like my game mechanics. Okay, this is why I play games like D&D. I like my tactical combat systems and shit. Okay, I'm not a story gamer. My games have excellent story and sense of world. In fact, what I do best as a GM is bring the world to life and make the players care about it. Which is ironic considering what I really like is the crunchy, crunchy bits. So, you know, I'm actually the perfect person to teach everybody how to run games because I can teach you how to run it from every angle. But, you know, and that's just me being humble again. But anyway, so this is the origin of the phrase thin and crispy. Okay, it's not as bloated and unhealthy as like the oily, fatty potato chips that is Dungeons & Dragons, but it's still crunchy. It's like those, it's like Wheat Thins or those Ritz crackers that are like air puffed and thin and crispy, or Baked Lays. That's why I was calling it thin and crispy. Okay, what I am envisioning here is a core fantasy adventure role-playing game engine. The length of it would be somewhere between Dungeon World without all the crap, because Dungeon World has a lot of bloat in it. Okay, there's a lot of words in Dungeon World that are unnecessary. But something that is somewhere between Dungeon World and Savage Worlds in length and detail. Okay? Probably closer to Savage Worlds. And this is just in terms of the actual length of the document. Like maybe 100, 150 pages. You know, nothing. The sort of thing that you could crank out in a week. So anyway. And I could probably have that put together in a couple of months. That would give me something to give away for free as initial bonus content to say, hey, in 3 months, here's an RPG for you that I wrote myself. And then every month thereafter, here's something new for it. Here's 3 new classes to fill out the class list because I only had time to write the 4 initial classes. Or, you know, here's 2 new races. Or, you know, here's several more monsters or whatever. Because one of the big problems with writing the RPG isn't actually designing the RPG. It's providing all of the friggin' content. It's like, you know, a whole monster manual's worth of beasts or whatever. That shit is hard, man. But anyway, this is what I was talking about with light and crispy. Okay, and that's all it is. It's just an RPG system. I would give it away for free to high tier supporters. I would sell it probably for $20 as a PDF to everybody else. You know, and then the high tier supporters would continue to get bonus content for it every month or so. And then I might sell the bonus content after the exclusivity period to everybody else. So that, you know, I have my own light and crispy system. This is not related to the Angry RPG, which may or may not, which absolutely is in development, but is going to need 18 months at least. There's nothing I can do about that. I cannot come out with a system the size I want to come out with in less than 18 months. And yes, this is something that I should have been saying 2 years ago. I know. Okay. But again, the last 2 years have been a shit show for me. I have handled things very badly. And another reason why I'm not angry at Wizards of the Coast is because if I had handled things better in the last year and a half, I would not be in this freak out position right now. So this is on me. Okay. There are always circumstances beyond your control, but there are also lessons to learn from everything that happens to you. And in the end, you can control your responses. So I made bad choices and now I'm in a position where my responses are limited and I'm going to have to choose the best of the bad options. Okay. Let's see. Pixel, I kind of addressed Angry Device Systems because I don't want to go too much into more detail about that. The 201 series I covered. Gan Dave is asking about Light and Crispy Unique. Okay. Yeah, the Light and Crispy Unique versus D20 thing, that was kind of a fuck up on my part. Okay. Once upon a time, I threw together a very quick and dirty role-playing game system that specifically for making crappy one-shots that I called Slapdash. This was years ago. I have had designs ever since of actually turning Slapdash into a, you know, finished thing. And it's basically just a D20 system. It's D20 plus attribute, skill mod, you know, circumstance modifier with a few little bells and whistles for customizing characters. It's very, very simple and light. But I've always wanted to go back and revisit it and see what I could do with the idea. This was the inception of Thin and Crispy, because I said, you know, I could take this idea that I had over the weekend, and I know I'm still playing a little coy and being a little mysterious because I don't want to throw things out there. But, you know, I could build on Slapdash. But then I realized that the ideas that I was building on were actually pretty unique and kind of cool. And I think I have the skeleton of a pretty good system that would emphasize players having to interact with the world or each other instead of just their character sheets to play best. Okay? That's not something that I can necessarily do by just filing the serial numbers off a D20 system. It is entirely possible, by the way, without stepping on Wizards of the Coast toes, to file the serial numbers off a D20 system and publish something that works pretty much like D&D that wouldn't infringe on their copyrights. You'd probably still end up in court. TBH. That's internet speak for, you know, to be honest. But anyway, you'd probably still end up in court because Wizards of the Coast, if it looks like D&D, they're going to want to have a conversation with you. So that's a risky move to make, but I mean, it is doable, conceivably, from a copyright law standpoint. But I had a more unique idea. And so I kind of, because I never stopped talking and thinking out loud, I was kind of thinking through this in the Angry Article discussion, and that's where things kind of went bonkers, and everybody was like, well, I want Thin and Crispy unique. Well, I want Thin and Crispy D20, and like nobody even knows what they're asking for at this point because I'm playing coy and I don't want to talk about it. So now, Pixel777. Any chance I can keep my third-party monster books with a non-OGL system, yours or one that you'll recommend pre-whatever? The answer is probably no, okay? And honestly, Pixel, I'm going to say this. You're actually the reason why I am doing this right now. This voice chat is actually all because of you. Because in the Angry Article thing, you were talking about, this is, so DM Dave put out this system, but then you can't use this, or this, and some other creator used this content creation system, or this crafting system that you promised your players could use, and you've got an herbalism system, crafting system, you've got all these different little systems, and you want the one system that they'll all work in. And I wanted to jump in and crush your fragile little spirit. Not because I am a cruel and heartless master, but because I believe that you have to confront reality. So and ultimately that's when I realized I really needed to talk this out with everybody, or at least talk this out verbally. Here is the sad truth. The era of content creation for Dungeons & Dragons, or actually the era where there are a multitude of content creators all over the internet, all creating new and awesome things to do in the same game system, so that all you have to do is play that one game system, whatever it be, and then you have all of this content that you can bring into it, that era is over. It is done. It will not happen. Okay? Not under D&D, because most content creators will not operate under this OGL, and the content creators that do operate under this OGL will eventually become an arm of Wizards of the Coast. Okay? Their best content will be taken from them, and then eventually Wizards of the Coast will decide they don't like their content, shut them down. Okay? So, you know, that dream's over, and I'm sorry. And meanwhile, people like me, you know, we all have these dreams now. It's like everybody on the internet, every content creator is saying, well, fine, I'll just make my own game system with blackjack and hookers and then let everybody use that. Well, that's great, because now in the next 6 months, every content creator is going to have their own unique system, which means nobody is going to be using the same system. And if they're smart, they're not using a system that's anything like the OGL system, not anything like D&D. Let's call it what it is. OGL is a legal document that lets you use the rules of D&D, okay? So no, nobody's going to make anything like D&D, and in fact, a number of creators are going to spitefully make things as different from D&D as possible. No two creators are going to be creating content for the same game anymore. And it's going to take a while for that to settle out. And yes, am I talking about contributing to that problem? Yeah, I kind of am. Okay? I know there are a number of content creators already out there who are trying to organize different movements, like the Open D&D movement and DM Dave's Cool and Kobold Press put out a statement today and I have no idea what it is. And Troll Lord Games is trying to get everybody to create for Castles and Crusades. And this is what's gonna happen, is there's going to be 10,000 different little fiefdoms that everybody is gonna be creating for one of them. And you're gonna be stuck not being able to bring content from one game to another. It's over. Okay. And there's nothing I can do about it. Like, I would love to just make system agnostic content that could go into any system. It's impossible. Okay. People who say just make system agnostic content are people who have never tried to design system agnostic content. It doesn't work. Okay. Once in a while, you get lucky. You come up with something like the Tension Pool that literally works for almost every tabletop role-playing game. I got lucky, okay? I didn't even know what I had when I had it, to be totally honest. And I wasn't designing it to be system agnostic. I was designing it specifically for D&D. It just happens to work very well wherever you bring it. And it's great. And it's mine, by the way, okay? Because I have now gotten requests from people like, can we use this? Can we use this? I'm like, no. Because now that's too valuable for me to let people use, you know? I can't, so, I mean, and I, see, now I become the corporate overlord. This is how it happens, right? Now I'm the evil guy. I won't let people use my tension pool. I won't let people use my fighting spirit. I got plans for them. I can't have you take them and then shut down my game by arguing to a court, you published them first and better, or whatever. It's ugly. So Pixel 7777 is saying, do you think something like a trust-based open license built around a community of OGL adverse creators is something you'd participate in? Nope. For exactly the reasons I said, because we'd all have to pick one. And the thing is, like, if I'm gonna pick a system, then it's gonna be the system I write for. And to be totally honest, I'm gonna be totally, completely frank with all of you right now. Okay. Honestly, all I'm doing at this point is trying to buy my time and keep the lights on long enough to have my big system out there. The big system, by the way. Because I'm not planning to do something little. I'm planning to compete with D&D and Pathfinder. That's my plan. That has been my plan all along. Okay, I have something big enough and grand enough that I think I can do it. Or I'm going to die trying. And that's possible, too, that I'm going to go down swinging. You know what? But you don't win if you don't take risks. That's entrepreneurship. Anywho, so that said, no, if I'm going to do something at this point, I'm not going to try and pick, you know, which one of these systems is going to be the one. I'm going to assume that most of the people who are following me like my content well enough that if I do my own thing, they're going to stick around long enough to see the big project. So, okay. Call me Simon. Did the Patreon RSS stop working due to this? Will any old proof read-alouds go away, and do I need to re-download them in a hurry? The Patreon RSS is no longer working. I didn't actually realize it was still working. As soon as I claimed the RSS feed for myself, I shut it down. Okay, there is no audio coming through. There wasn't supposed to be audio coming through the Patreon feed. There is an RSS feed for both podcasts I put out, the live chat podcast and the Proofread Aloud podcast. They are RSS feeds completely within my control, not published by anyone other than me. And all I do on Patreon is publish links to the episodes. You should be using those. Are any of the old proofread alouds and articles going to go away? At this point, I can't say. They will not. You will not be able to find any of them on Patreon. Okay, they are disappearing off Patreon. I will host them on my website until such time as Angry Games receives a nasty letter from Wizards of the Coast saying, dump this stuff or you're out of business. But I cannot have anything on Patreon's site. Because then Wizards of the Coast has the option of the big red phone. In which case, they don't have to contact me. Okay. Pixel 777. So if other creators out there are doing the same risk calculus you are, what are the odds there will be any significant new third-party content for 5e players to use in the future? I got no idea. Okay, I can't answer about anybody's risk calculus but mine. There'll probably be plenty. To be totally honest, okay, let me be Nostradamus here and also do the real talk thing. We all want to believe that the evil corporate overlords have pissed off the gaming community as a whole, and now everybody's going to flee, and Dungeons & Dragons is going to die, and it'll be a new renaissance for role-playing games that aren't Dungeons & Dragons. The truth of the matter is, this isn't going to change much, okay? The small creators, the little guys who are just publishing things on DM's Guild, they're just going to, you know, keep going. Wizards of the Coast is going to make it really, really easy for them. Okay, I don't think Wizards of the Coast actually is even going to act against the middle tier guys. I don't think Wizards of the Coast is going to take the actions that I have said they could. I think they want everyone to know they have the option to force the big players to the negotiating table and to force the biggest players out of the market, or to basically, you know, like Paizo and Kobold Press. These folks have to make the same decisions that I'm making right now on a much bigger scale, because they've got a bunch of stuff under OGL. Okay, and now they've got to strip it all out of their products, or they're exposed, or decide whether or not it's time for a new edition, or decide whether it's time to close up shop, or decide whether it's time to just fight in court. Okay, so I don't think Wizards of the Coast is really going to move against anybody. The question is whether or not I think it's worth the risk to my future, because my future never was with Wizards of the Coast. My future is elsewhere. So it doesn't really behoove me to play nice with them anymore, because now all I have to do is broadcast all my moves to them and also let them take my best ideas. Okay? So that said, there's probably going to be a bunch of content. But the most profitable content creators, the successful ones, the ones who got there because they make the best content, okay? Because the content creation community is the closest thing to a capitalist meritocracy you're going to get. The people who make the best stuff, they're the ones who are making the most money on it. I hope. I hope I'm not making a lot of money on it for another reason. But anyway, you know, they're out, but they're also the people who have the resources and the wherewithal to say, I can just make my own game with blackjack and hookers. Okay? They're the ones who have the option to say, like, I'm lucky I have that option, to be totally honest. Okay? I'm not so in bed with Dungeons & Dragons that I can't say, yeah, it's going to cost me some, but, you know, I would be in a better position if I had handled things worse, but I could also be in a lot worse position. So there's still going to be plenty of content for D&D. The question is, like, I mean, that's it. That's all I'm going to speculate on, okay? I don't think this is going to be the giant change that anybody thinks it is. It's not really affecting Hasbro's stock price. Everybody says, oh, they're going to take over. This is not. Nope. Sorry. This is actually exactly what the investors want to see. And they accept that the brand is going to be hurt in the short term by this move, because there are long-term issues about the brand that needed repairing. Which, by the way, like, all the folks who were having the conversation in my secret inner sanctum about how Wizards of the Coast is burning down their brand and all of this stuff, you're wrong. They're not. They're actually fixing a very serious problem with their brand right now. I don't agree with the fix. I don't like it. But they are doing that. They are thinking long-term. Okay. You can tell they're thinking long term because they're quietly taking a massive hit right now. They know they're taking the hit in the community. I think the timing is bad. And I think in the end, we won't know whether or not their plan was good or not until we see how it all plays out. But they're not being evil. They're being smart. They're just being smart in a way that really hurts. Anyway, if WotC and D&D were to go bankrupt, what do you think would be the ramifications for the TTRPG hobby in general? Okay. Okay, first of all, D&D can go bankrupt without WotC going bankrupt because D&D is not WotC. That's the first thing. Okay. Second thing, if D&D goes bankrupt, then Hasbro takes it and locks it away in a vault for 10 years. That's how Hasbro operates with its brands. They lock it away for 10 years and then they try to reinvent it. Unless they think it has value as a licensed brand, that I don't think it's gonna. They're actually betting on that right now. The movie, the video games, all that other shit they're doing. Like, I got from my mother who, you know, God love her, she think, you know, oh, well, he writes games and he loves games, so anything that has Dungeons & Dragons on it, he's going to love. My mother got me a pair of Dungeons & Dragons official licensed pajama pants. To be fair, they're the single most comfortable pair of pajama pants I have ever owned. Okay, she sent them to me for Christmas. They're a delight. I wear them all the time. Okay, ever since Christmas, I've been wearing them almost every other night. You know, obviously I keep them clean. I'm not wearing dirty pajama pants. But anyway, okay. Wizards of the Coast is banking on the idea that that Dungeons & Dragons is licensable. That even if people aren't playing and buying the game, they can make money off the license. And honestly, this open gaming license thing is one example of that. Okay? That's what they're banking on. I don't think it'll work. And I think they're in for some thin years, but I think they already know that they're in for some thin years. Okay. Honestly, it's not the first time that D&D would have almost gone bankrupt this decade. D&D was very close to bankrupt before 5e came out. Okay. But if in the hypothetical role-playing game hobby, where Dungeons & Dragons does not exist, the hobby contracts tremendously. Okay? The hobby won't go away. There will always be people willing to play role-playing games. And there will always be people willing to publish role-playing games mainly as passion projects. But the hobby will contract tremendously. Without D&D to tell people the hobby exists, no one can find the hobby. Okay, that's really the problem. Okay, everybody says there is a whole role-playing world beyond D&D, and that is true. And if you are already in D&D, you can see that whole world. If you are not already in D&D, you do not know that world exists. Every industry needs its D&D. Okay, does that mean a really savvy company couldn't step up and replace D&D and become the brand that D&D was? No, that's always possible. Someone else could become synonymous with role-playing games. And, you know, I don't think that's very likely. The D&D, like, okay, real talk, nobody likes to hear this, but this is the fact. Dungeons & Dragons is one of the most recognized brand names in the world. It is one of the brand names that more people have heard of than almost anything else. Seriously. Okay? The market research has been done. Almost everybody in the world has heard of Dungeons & Dragons. Do they know what it is? Not necessarily. Some people know it as, oh, it's that thing that weird guy played in college. Or it's that thing I played in college because I was such a dork. Or, oh, it's that weird game with the funny dice. Or, oh, isn't that video game? Or isn't that a board game? Or whatever. But everybody's heard of Dungeons & Dragons. This is precisely what Cynthia Williams was talking about when she said the brand is under-monetized. Okay? Because everybody has heard of Dungeons & Dragons and nobody is paying for it. Okay? That's Wizards of the Coast's problem. They have one of the most recognizable brands in the world and they can't make money with it. Because no matter what they say, and no matter how popular you think Dungeons & Dragons is, they don't make a lot of money at it. Okay? Nobody does. But the problem on top of that is lots of people are making money off that brand that aren't Wizards of the Coast. So the question is, what the hell is the brand even worth? And I hate to think like that, but the problem is the people who pay for new rule books aren't you and me. Okay? In order to get a new rule book out, to make a new edition of D&D, okay? Like take 4th edition. 4th edition was in development for 3 years, had a team of 30 people. Okay? So, calculate just off the top of your head now, how much do you think you would have to pay 30 people for 4 years or 3 years, whatever it is? That money had to come from somewhere. Okay? That money comes from investors, people who believe that you're making a product that people will want to buy when you're done, so they'll give you the money. Okay? That's what the problem is. Suddenly, Hasbro and Hasbro's investors are looking at D&D saying, why are we financing a new edition? We put all this money into it. You make almost no money, but everybody else is making, seems to be making money. And why aren't you making that money? That is what happened here. Okay. Hasbro has been doing badly. Okay. Hasbro only had 2 brands that were getting them any money from investors. And I'm sorry to say, like, I know this is all evil and stuff, but let's be totally honest. Each one of you is an investor, and the only reason you give me money is because you think you get something of value out of it. Okay, you're no different. The difference between a financial investor and a you investor is the thing that you get out of it is good content. But a lot of you are only putting that money in because you're betting that I'm going to make a great game someday and let you buy it. Okay, well, the people investing in Hasbro, they're putting their money in because they think they're going to make more money later. That's, you know, we give you the money because you're an expert at making games. You make a great game, then you pay us back with a little more as a way of saying, thanks for letting me use your money to make my game. That's all, by the way, corporate investment is. Okay. Which is why, like, you start vilifying that as evil. It's like, ew. Are there evil people? Yeah. There are evil people in corporate America. There are evil people everywhere. I'm not going to say that there is no such thing as an evil corporation or that there are no evil peoples in corporation. What I am saying is Wizards of the Coast is not being evil right now. Wizards of the Coast is fucked. And Hasbro is kind of fucked. And they're trying to figure out a way to get out of it. Because otherwise, Dungeons & Dragons is gone. And if Dungeons & Dragons is gone, this hobby gets cut probably by 2/3. You think it's tough finding players and GMs now. You just wait. Okay? Because every hobby needs its brand. Some hobbies are big enough that there are multiple brands. There are lots of big brands, and so people have heard of several brands. You know, or take something like fast food. You've all heard of McDonald's, you've all heard of Burger King. If you want fast food, you know fast food exists because you know of Burger King, you know of McDonald's, you know of Wendy's, you know of Chick-fil-A. You know you got options exist. But if you had never heard of McDonald's or Burger, if you've never heard of any of those companies and you're sitting at home one night saying, gosh, I'm hungry and I wish I could have a hamburger in 3 minutes, you wouldn't know that that thing even existed. Gosh, I would like to play a fantasy adventure game. I've heard of Dungeons & Dragons. I wonder what that is. Or we're making a TV show about these kids in the 80s who fight demonic monsters and we need to show their, you know, teamwork and foreshadow things and show their friendship and their geekiness. Is there a thing that we could put in front of them that, you know, would demonstrate that? Oh, Dungeons & Dragons, it's a thing everybody's heard of and we can put it in there. Okay? The industry needs Dungeons & Dragons. And without it, we're all in trouble. Okay. Penguin, I've gotten to the bottom of the questions, and so this is going to be the last question from Penguin because I've been going a little over an hour now. I think it's like an hour and 5. Oh my God, it's an hour and 14 minutes. Okay. I probably should have gone with a producer. Oh, I got a direct message from Procellus. What could that be? Caught up in your rant. Are we extending the time? Hi, Procellus. I didn't even know you were here. To be fair, halfway, like, no, there weren't many people who were here when I started, and I minimized Discord so that I could talk without distraction. And holy shit, I can talk for a while, huh? Anyway, Penguin is asking this. Any chance you'll repackage past articles in an easy-to-download format for those of us who'd like to reference them if you have to remove them? Okay. As I said, there is a chance I will get a nasty letter from Wizards of the Coast that says, you got to take down your website because... Okay, in which case, I have already taken steps to make sure that there is a nice clean break between January of this year and everything else so that I can, within a couple of days, have everything prior to there just no longer available on my site. I have to do that so that I don't have to just shut off my whole site. Okay, the problem is the minute I get that letter, I cannot then hand out the content. Because then Wizards of the Coast, if they get wind of it, they say, we told you to take this down, not give it out. It's still a copyright violation. You didn't actually do what we said. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you got me. Take me to court. The other problem is that there is a huge volume of content and it is all stored in a SQL database because I run on a heavily modified WordPress backend. I'm not an expert. I've gotten pretty okay at, you know, breaking my website by fiddling with the PHP codes and the CSSs and all that stuff. Like, I actually do delve into the guts of my website. I've heavily modified some of the code that it runs on. But for the most part, I'm still hosting a WordPress site with an SQL database. I don't honestly know how to actually get all the stuff out of there in any way other than going to each individual article and downloading the text. And I have copies of a lot of it in an archive, at least the unproofed versions, but not everything. I'm not good at things, to be totally honest. I've gotten better at them in the last year, but like the really old stuff, some of that stuff's just gone. And honestly, at this point, I have now lost the first week and a half of 2023, which is supposed to be my seminal year of rebirth and growth, to dealing with this shit. So I'm not sure I want to devote another week to downloading my whole website and just making it available as an archive, which I would still have to get rid of the moment Wizards of the Coast sent me a letter. I don't think it's likely, but again, it could happen and I have to be ready for it so that I can keep doing business even if they come at me. The chances are slim. I'm not going to lie. It's a huge time investment. And that time would be better spent just making new content. You know? I hate to lose it all. I really do. But, you know, the price is high. Could I facilitate someone doing it? Someone getting a copy of it? Someone who's a little bit more knowledgeable? I mean, I'd have to really, really trust them to let them into the guts. But if somebody, you know, I don't know. I honestly don't know. That's right now, I'm in fortification mode. Okay, that's what I'm focusing on. I have to fortify myself so that I can continue to operate no matter what happens. And even then, there's a chance I'll still, you know, wake up tomorrow and Patreon will be off. Like, there's a chance on Monday, I'm just gone. So, you know, all this stuff might amount to nothing. And that's kind of the bigger picture that I have to deal with right now. What I'll recommend is if there's anything on my website that you are particularly attached to, find it and use that cute little PDF downloader that is on literally every article I publish. Get it all down. Get it all down and hide it somewhere. In fact, look, I can't be involved in this. I can't even know about it. So, you know, like if someone were to start, say, their own private Discord server with a handful of Angryons and just start taking on the Angry Archive project, I couldn't know about it or be involved with it. You know, if you just started some sort of Google Drive or something and just put that shit together yourselves, I can't even endorse it. Don't do that. absolutely don't start some sort of hidden community so that you can keep circulating the tapes. Okay. Because if I know about it, then I'm in trouble and you're all in trouble. But if I didn't know it existed, then there's really nothing I could do about it. Okay. So that's it. All right. That's all. This is like real talk with Angry here. That's everything that's going on. This is what's been costing me sleep for a week. This is why I'm worried, and this is why everything is changing. Okay. As you can see, it's a lot more complicated than Twitter makes it sound. Okay. So, you know, look, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I want to keep doing this, because I love doing this, and also because you all love that I do this. And honestly, for a little while, I was actually having conversations with Tiny about what I would have to do post the Angry GM. And there was a very brief moment where it really felt easy to say, you know what, honestly, time to just update the resume and pack it in. I hate to say that, but, you know, again, cost benefit. And I've got, you know, I got to think about, you know, in 18 months, we're getting married. And weddings are not cheap. Even if you do a cheap wedding, it's not cheap. And we don't want a cheap wedding. We want a good wedding. It's, you know, and then after that, there's going to be a family. And if this sort of shit, like if knowing that my income can get shut off in a day is not a way to raise a family. That's not responsible. You don't bring kids into a situation like that. There's always risks in life. But so this was the calculus. But I have a secret pile of the thank yous that people have sent me over the years. Okay, when people have sent me nice things like, hey, you changed my game for the better. Or, hey, you know, years ago I was unhealthy and you started talking about doing zombies run. And that really made me feel inspired. And every time you went out running, it made me want to go running. And now I'm healthy too. Or, you know, hey, I was really afraid to run games and convinced, you know, you convinced me to do it. And now I'm having a great time and I made new friends and all this stuff. I've kept all of that stuff. You know, this is the chance I have to make the most impact on people's lives, to spread happiness, which I think is pretty valuable. I have some unique gifts and skills, and I have been blessed with them, and it is my duty to use them. And so I don't want to give this up. And that's just the truth of it. Okay. I love being surrounded by this community. I love gaming. Gaming has been the source of all of my best memories. Most of my best memories. Most. Gaming has been the source of most of my best memories. Not all. But, you know, unfortunately also, you know, running a gaming business online has also been the source of some of my worst memories. Not all, but some. You know, days like today. In the end, right now, the benefits outweigh the costs, which means I make the fight of it. Whatever, you know, whatever I have to do to fight, I'll fight. I'll fight as long as I have fight in me. But there's other costs involved, and there's other people who are relying on me. And the farther I go into the future, the more heavily those costs and those people are going to weigh on me. You know, honestly, if this sort of thing were happening, say, 2 years from now, when Tiny and I were talking about our first baby, then it would be something where I'd probably just pack it in. But I got time now. So we'll see what we can do with that time. As I said, I ain't dead yet. So, you know, that said, tomorrow, I just want to wake up and write a damn article. Okay, I'm kind of sick of dealing with this shit. So I am going to ask for one favor. From this point forward, if you want to have it out about the OGL or piss and moan about Wizards of the Coast or everything that is destroying Dungeons & Dragons right now, we have a, ta- a, a channel specifically for tabletop role-playing game 1D&D chat. TTRPG-1D&D chat. Keep it all in there, because I've actually got that chat muted. I check in occasionally, but honestly, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I hate dealing with this. It's driving me crazy. It's exhausting, it's stressful, it's scary. And it's keeping me from doing my best work. So, beyond that, I just want to make one other observation, and I think I dropped this in the one D&D chat. I think the one mistake that Wizards of the Coast has made in all of this is 2 weeks ago, there were a huge number of people online who were very excited to talk about the future edition of Dungeons & Dragons, who would be doing nothing but building buzz for 1D&D right now. There were a lot of them. Okay? Here we are now, 2 weeks later. This is the only conversation anybody is having about Dungeons & Dragons. And that's kind of a shame. And for that reason also, I really don't want to be involved in Dungeons & Dragons right now anyway. To the point where I want to move all my games off any edition of Dungeons & Dragons. I don't want to look at the ampersand on my books anymore. Okay? This is it. If nothing else, and I know it was a calculated move and I know I was defending them earlier, but I also think it's a damn shame that all of the internet buzz that they might have generated, they've got a long time to rebuild that buzz before 6th edition or 1D&D or D-Box 1 or whatever comes out. But I think it's a damn shame that this is how we're starting 2023. One more thing. I'm not a vengeful person, I'm not a spiteful person, but I do believe in voting with your wallet. One of the things Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast are banking on pretty heavily right now is the success of their upcoming Dungeons & Dragons movie, which isn't looking great, by the way, because it's already been pushed back for reshoots, and it was pushed back, there were reshoots done. It's never a good sign. Everything that determines the success of a movie happens opening weekend. If you want to show your support for any content creator who is struggling with this shit right now, skip the D&D movie for 1 week. I'm not asking you to boycott it. I'm not asking you to never see it, though that is an option. I probably will never ever see it. But skip it for 1 week. Don't let them have the opening box office. Don't let them have it. Okay? That's it. Honestly, if you ever want to show your disapproval for a movie, you only have to skip it for 1 week. I shit you not. You can still go see the movie. Just don't go opening weekend. Wait 1 week. It opens eyes. It really does. It has to do with how the returns are calculated. Our retweeter is saying, why would you want to see it anyway? Because it's D&D. I love D&D. Oh, okay. Oh, there was sarcasm coming. Because the next quote is, it can't overwrite perfection. And then it's showing the original D&D movie. Hey, for what it's worth, the sequel, Wrath of the Dragon God, amazing D&D movie. I love it. Okay? Really, like, the only thing hampering that thing was the budget. If it had a big budget, that movie would have been great. Then again, if it had a big budget, it wouldn't have been that movie. So, anyway, just skip the D&D movie opening weekend. That's all. Just let them wait 1 week for your ticket sales. Okay? All right. With that being said, thanks everybody for hanging out. This is the other thing that's sad, is like, this is my most listened to impromptu flash chat ever. And isn't that sad? Because, man, this was miserable. But look, this is all done now. You guys want to talk about D&D 1, keep it in the D&D 1 channel. I'm not D&D anymore. I'm done with it. I'll figure out what I'm doing with the future. I will keep you all informed. There's going to be something, and it's going to be great because it's me. And whatever I put out is amazing. But the days of me being able to disentangle D&D and do these amazing rule hacks and put it back together better than it was. That's over. I can't do it. And I'm sorry. But I can do something different and awesome.